Talo Falava.
Maloa Lele.
I'm Adri.
And I'm Hefo.
And welcome to the Speak On It podcast.
On today's episode, we will be talking about the direct impacts of housing and the connection of the cost of living in this day and age. You already know we're keeping this podcast real and making sure Pacifica Tay voices in SFD10 stay heard and elevated. No need to say it twice, just keep tapping in.
To ground ourselves in this conversation, what we want to do is check in. Today's question reads, if you could design 3 dream rooms for your house with unlimited resources, what would they be and why? Could you start us off, Hefo? Like, what's popping up for you?
I have my top 3. I would have a game room with all the different consoles. So PS5 or PlayStation 5, Xbox and PC.
No Switch?
Oh, no, Switch, because y'all need to get swept in Mario Kart real quick.
Okay, anyways.
But yeah, my second room would be a library, with the inspiration coming from Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I feel as if Belle was my favorite Disney princess, mainly for that room because the library scene was beautiful. I also used to be a big bookworm before screens came into my life.
Right.
And I've been trying to be intentional with being off my phone and kind of getting back into hobbies that I used to be interested in. Mm-hmm. So one of them was reading. I just bought a book as well, so I'm super excited. And then my final room would be a recording studio.
Oh, so you're not going to invite me?
Oh, you can be on the track featuring.
Feature?
Feature. I mean, yeah.
Girl.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I would have a recording studio because I like singing and I also like creating harmonies. So it would be kind of like a space of me just doing covers to songs and kind of just experimenting with my sound.
Like a place of solitude is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I need that. Like, I would want that in my house. What about you?
I think my top pick would definitely be a cinema room. Cinema room. Sorry, I thought I said cinnamon roll or something. Ooh. But a cinema room with a movie screen, like a movie projector screen,
mm-hmm.
similar to the theaters or exactly like that. And I want a popcorn station. I want a snack bar. I want a mini fridge. Matter of fact, I want a regular size fridge. Yes, I want it all. I want the ambiance of being in a theater, but from the safety and comfort of my own home. My second choice would definitely be a pool, a swimming pool, a hot tub, sauna, like all of that in one room.
Oh, period.
I imagine it's going to have to be a very big room.
Right, right.
But keyword is imagine.
Actually, I would suggest also to like have really big windows.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to put it on top of the house. No. Oh, that would actually be a good placement. But I am a child of the summer. I was born in August. And I think my entire life I've been drawn to the water. I am a water. Never mind. Anyways, yes, I've always felt very drawn to the water. Mm-hmm. I would consider myself a decent swimmer. Like I could float. And I would want a pool that has the depth of, I would say, 10 feet max. Because that's why I'm comfortable going. Anything past 10 feet, I'm just kind of like, oh, now you're doing too much. But for people like you, my non-swimmers, there will be a 3 feet area.
Oh, clock me then,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and then, yeah, I really love being in the water. That's my favorite part of summer. And for that reason, swimming pool. My last room would also be a game room, but I'm thinking more board games, trivia, card games, because I'm a very competitive person. And I feel like having a room with so many options would be so fulfilling for me.
Right.
Like, it would be my version of hitting the jackpot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Which is funny, too, because whenever I think of, like, board games, I always think of Monopoly. And I cannot be bothered to play Monopoly. I once played a game that was, like, well over 6 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right? And, yeah, so I think that would actually be banned from my room. Any version of Monopoly, because they got, like, so many. But, yeah, if you know how to play Speed, if you know how to play, shoot, even Goldfish, like, everything will be found in that room. Jenga. What else? Trivial Pursuit. I don't even know how to play that for
Uno?
Real. Uno. Pictionary.
Pictionary.
Yes. Heads Up.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, like, I just want all of that and some more in my room. Period.
Period. To kick off our first segment, tell me something good. Let's check in and talk about the positive impacts of housing. If you've ever been to the city, you know one thing. We got some good views, right?
Right. That part.
And what I'm thinking of for my top three places of beautiful scenes in the city would be Mission Dolores. Hilltop Park.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is an official view, but we did take some pictures during our research project. And we went to that little front waterfront. Yeah, waterfront.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But we went to the waterfront and I actually visited again. And it was during the sun was setting. So it was just like me and my kids. And I'm like, wow, this is beautiful right now. So, yeah, those are my top three views for real. Do you got any?
I think where my partner stays at, the view from his area of the city. And I feel like that's my connection to housing. The view he has from his spot is so beautiful.
It is.
Especially during sunset.
Man.
And I'm just so reminded to be appreciative of your surroundings. And I feel like a lot of places or a lot of housing, I should say, within San Francisco have great views.
They do.
I'm not gonna lie. I think when people are looking for a place to live, that's something they take into consideration.
Yes.
The views that. Yeah. Would you agree?
I feel like I would agree, but that's because I love taking pictures of the sky.
So, me too.
Yeah.
I'm a sunset lover. I am. Down.
Too. I'm a sunrise lover.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, like working grave and kind of getting off when the sun is rising and the dawn, you know, like the day starting. And for me, it's like I love moments where it's like, oh, like it's another day. And it's a reminder for me.
Oh, wait. That's so beautiful. Okay, poetic justice.
I just be thinking in my head for real. But actually, I feel like one thing that I also look for with housing is like just practical kind of benefits. And what I'm talking about is my friend, she used to live in the old housing for Sunnydale and they have been revamping the spaces.
Right.
So later on, she was able to move in with her family to the new unit. And she was really appreciative of, you know, there's more space, more windows for natural sunlight. And the biggest upgrade was the washer and dryer.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it was like, it was a new washer and dryer. And on top of that, it was bigger than the one that they had before. It was also a new version. So they were really appreciative because now they were able to do more laundry because she comes from like a kind of big family.
I do too.
It's also the fact that, you know, like it's a woman household.
Yeah, I feel like because my housing, they actually got a revamp, a facelift. Oh, yeah. They basically got a glow up a couple years back. And one of the biggest things that I was appreciative of would be our laundry unit.
Mm.
So we don't have in-house units.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we have a communal area where everyone can utilize it.
Oh, that's good.
But pre-update, I believe there was only one washer and one dryer.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah. Keep in mind, there are like 8 different resident housings to utilize that one specific area.
Oh, that's nuts.
However, after the revamp, we were able to have 3 washers and 3 dryers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I come from a big family where we're going to need to use those. We don't need to use all 3, matter of fact.
Right.
But in terms of practicality, I'm very thankful of my housing to acknowledge, like, there was a need for more.
No, for real.
And we also had received updated appliances. And again, going back to the whole glow up.
Yeah.
The new refrigerator, the Ooh. New oven,
Ooh.
Cabinets,
Ooh.
Backsplash.
Man.
Okay, wait, I don't even know what backsplash is, but.
Backsplash is like, oh, for
like
me.
Like tile?
Yeah.
I don't think we quite have that, but flooring.
No, yeah, the flooring is such a big upgrade.
Yeah, we used to have carpets, but mm-hmm. then after the revamp, they did hardwood floor, which I like.
Right. It's easier to upkeep.
Yes. Yes. You don't necessarily need a vacuum. You could have a vacuum. But yeah, in terms of practicality, plus I live with hella siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just going to be a lot going on.
No, yeah, I definitely feel that. My house has carpet now and I'm struggling for real. But at the same time, I appreciate carpet only because of the age that I have my boys.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they're kind of clumsy at this point. So it helps with like fall damage.
Safety, yeah.
Yeah,
safety. Fall damage is crazy.
But I'm telling you, these guys be jumping. They're at the age of jumping. Anywho's, one thing that I find beneficial because we're talking about laundry is the fact that my laundromat is super close to my house. It's like a 5-minute walk.
Right.
So that is a big benefit for me. I also like the fact that there's a post office nearby and the fact that there's a convenience store and a taqueria. W Taqueria by my house, y'all food good. Anywho, but it's like things like that, having different practical elements that are in my area, they benefit for me at least.
What this reminds me of mm-hmm. from what you're sharing, it would be the fact that in San Francisco, rather than building out or, I'm sorry, rather than building up, mm-hmm. we tend to build out
mm-hmm.
in terms of residency units or housing projects. And right. I'm very grateful for that because
say more.
It helps strengthen and foster this sense of community. Like,
man,
when it was football season and man. We were all watching, like, you know, the Niners play, mm-hmm. you could hear everyone from their respective places or houses just going in
and cheering.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. In terms of housing, I feel like one thing San Francisco really has as an asset would be the access to multiple forms of transportation.
Yeah.
At least for me, there are hella bus stops around.
Right.
Different lines that service around the city.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to get somewhere, I might not be able to get to the exact location,
mm-hmm.
but at the very least in close proximity to it. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's your experience with public transportation?
I mean, yes. I feel like I've been taking Muni for almost my whole life.
Right.
And so have my kids,
mm-hmm.
Which is funny because kids love taking the bus.
Yeah. What? I don't understand the science behind it.
For my sons, it's more about, you know, exploring the city,
mm-hmm.
but also because of the fact that there's other people on the bus, it's also them interacting with folks.
Yeah.
For the sake of, you know, benefits is that when it's super close to my house, it's around the corner.
Mm.
And if I didn't want to take the bus and I wanted to take the T train, it's about 2 blocks away, which is super convenient.
Absolutely. And
it's just my way to work. It's my way to, you know, hang out, go downtown. There's an easy way to get there. And, you know, I use transit almost every day.
Again, I know we were saying in terms of people finding housing, something they consider somewhat are the views.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think access to transportation is a factor, especially if you know that you're going to be a commuter.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, at least in San Francisco, because I can only speak for my experience mm-hmm. living here, we have a decent transportation system, a pretty darn good one.
Yeah, because I'm just moving everywhere for real.
Yeah.
And I remember that living in Sacramento was difficult because of the fact that transportation was super far.
Mm.
I think it was like half a mile from where we were at. Damn. Just to get to a bus, dude. Or even not even the bus. It was to the train system that they had.
Yeah.
And I also think another benefit is the fact that I can hop on the minibus.
Wow. Did you just confess? A confession is crazy.
I mean, I'm usually paying for it with my clipper, but you know, I can just hop on the bus for real and nobody trips on me. And in SAC, I mean, good for them for like enforcing that.
Yeah.
To have everybody pay. But I also think that's like a benefit for those that like, oh, like I need to get to work, but I don't got bus fare.
Mm-hmm.
And also the benefit of free muni for youth.
Yes.
Big W for that one.
Absolutely. And on the topic of programs.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud the fact that the city of San Francisco offers
mm-hmm.
any housing assistance programs.
Right.
In relation to the surrounding cities.
Right.
Not to try and talk about anybody else's situation, but I think San Francisco does a pretty good job. Like, she's doing her best with what she's got in terms of programs geared towards affordable housing.
Right.
Or even the language accessibility aspect of filling out the paperwork mm-hmm. and going through the process.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that the benefit of, you know, because for my mom, she's a Tongan language speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So she does understand English. It's just the fact of it's hard for her to speak it.
Yeah.
And one thing that I saw at a community organization was that they were offering for translators mm. for those that spoke Samoan or Tongan, and they would actually help fill out Section 8 housing applications or whatever housing resources that you would need assistance with, they would offer it. And they would offer just, you know, their employees like, hey, just come down. We can help you go step by step and, you know, get it done. Which I appreciate, because for someone that is bilingual, it's like it's a relief for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to helping my mom and yeah. be a translator. Well, not even just my mom, for both of my parents. Because, you know, it's hard to learn English out here for real. Like, English is one of the most difficult languages.
Yeah, and I definitely think that language as a barrier shouldn't hinder someone's ability to receive housing assistance.
Right, or like any assistance at all.
Yeah, so I feel like community orgs and, you know, local agencies do mm-hmm. a very good job of fulfilling that need for support.
Yes.
In terms of translation.
Right.
All right. Let's flip the script a bit. It's time for the Clock It portion of the podcast, where we're shining a light on the not so pretty side of housing. For me, one thing I'd like to clock is the affordability aspect. Mm. The fact that housing or, yeah, I should say housing or home ownership in the city of San Francisco is not affordable.
It's nuts.
And, you know, in my free time as of recently, something I've been doing as mm-hmm. a way of online shopping, air quotes on that.
Okay.
I'd be going on Zillow.
Oh.
Yeah. You know? And when I was on Zillow.
Wait, what's Zillow again?
Zillow is a housing browsing app.
Oh, so that's like that's places to way. Look for rent?
Not necessarily. It's showing like the listings of what's available.
Oh, like real estate.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes. Sorry. That was a very poor description of it, but that's my bad. Anyways, I do my hypothetical, I'm buying a home
right.
on Zillow. Uh-huh. And on their website, something that I learned, and I don't know how factual this is. Mm-hmm. I'm just sharing what I seen.
Right.
The average California home is valued at, hold on to your horses, $1,241,003. Out of that whole number, the only thing I got is the $3.
What? $1 million for a house out here? Are you... What?
And I feel like living in San Francisco has kind of altered my perception of mm-hmm. normalcy, because I don't even know what the market price for homeowners is in different cities or even different states.
Mm.
Like, to me, I'm like, oh, you know, that's quote unquote regular because I live in California.
I'm wondering now, like, what is the rate, or like, what's the average for home ownership in different states?
I also wonder, but from the looks of how things are going, a prediction that I'm kind of making, or an informed guess,
mm-hmm.
is that that number will continue to grow. That number right. will continue to grow. And it's crazy, too, because I know we're talking about, or something we wanted to talk about, is the cost of living.
Right.
And when I think of the cost of living, it's not just about housing.
Right.
I also consider things like...
Oh, like healthcare?
Yes, healthcare. I would consider healthcare to be a factor of the cost of living, but also even education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the privatization or public something of education.
I'm also thinking about like childcare services yes, in our
yes.
area.
Yes, you're a mother. You are a mother. So it makes sense that you would consider something like that or factor it. Like, right. block it.
Right.
Block it. You're a mother.
It's also like, well, for you to clock is transportation. And I'm thinking about gas.
Girl, gas, that car note, any issues, whenever the check engine light come on. Girl.
Man.
Girl. Anyways, but also even food.
Yeah. Food. That's for me, it's just so bonkers because when I'm talking to some people, like during a youth commission like budget forum,
mm-hmm.
one thing that was mentioned from a community member was them debating every month on, you know, should I make my month's rent or should I buy groceries? And it's crazy to me that we're at this state. And the funny part is that they were Tay. Mm. That at this age of being Tay, we're really debating whether to make, you know.
Sacrifices.
Make ends meet with rent or food. And it just doesn't make sense. I feel like I shouldn't have to choose whether I have a roof over my head or if I have
food on the table.
Yeah.
Oh, clock it, clock it. I also think that raises a good point of the position of housing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I know, at least for me, I do have access to, you know, food options.
Right.
However, these are not necessarily the most healthy nor nutritious.
Yes.
I'm not even going to lie. Here's what I can name off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. We got a KFC Taco Bell. We got a McDonald's. We have Grocery Outlet, the produce store next to the Dollar Tree. And these are just like, in general, my general vicinity.
Right. For me too, because as much as it's practical to have a laundromat and a post office by me,
yeah,
it's also the fact that for food options, all I really got is a liquor store.
Oh.
McDonald's. And I mean, the taqueria real good, but like, there's no veggies.
Yeah. And I think that's what develops poor eating habits.
Yeah.
Like if you're really trying to trace it back to a potential cause,
mm-hmm.
I would say housing.
Right.
Housing. And of course, the cost of living, because the cost of living.
Yeah. It's just in the position where I stay at, I would shop nearby, right? Like there's a food co. But then the difference that I'm noticing is within the price ranges. So I've been noticing that buying at, you know, like liquor stores, like milk is cheaper.
Mm.
But at the same time, it's not the same quality. And I would love quality food,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not within my budget for real.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of residents or at least community members
mm-hmm.
have a similar experience.
Right.
And to me, I think it's a means of survival.
Man. Like,
survival mode.
I think when I first turned 19.
Right.
It was the fact that I was working two jobs, right? I was working at a Starbucks, and then I was working at a skateboard shop. And at this age, I was really budgeting by having myself have a bag of chips and a drink every day just to meet and or just to, you know, pay the rent.
Yeah.
Right. And that was, I feel like, I don't know if anybody struggled like that, but I mean, me and my friends, that was the thing back in 2019 that we were doing. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's nuts. I really, and now that I'm a mom, it just doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah. Even although I'm not a mom,
mm-hmm.
I am a big sister.
Right.
To many.
Close enough.
Many children. Second mom.
Okay.
Emergency contact. but I do think of the safety of my siblings.
Mm.
And, you know, we do live here in District 10 in the Visitation Valley area.
Yes.
And as of recently, I feel like there's been a lot of issues with violence.
Right.
In the surrounding area.
Right.
And of course, that's like my immediate concern. I'm not even worried about my own personal safety. It's theirs.
Yeah.
It's theirs.
I also agree.
But all that to say, we've kind of had developed a tolerance, I guess. Or
yeah.
Not necessarily a tolerance, but it's become so normal for us to hear things, you know, throughout the night that we just do our best to stay grounded with one another.
Right.
But the fact that that's even normal to kids
mm-hmm.
is something that I'd like to clock.
Right. No, for real. I think that's something I've been fearing about since, you know, my first was born.
Yeah.
Especially because the fact, like, you know, my kids are, we say hafikasi. But like my boys are Afghasi.
What does that mean?
So it means that they are mixed racial.
Mm.
Yes. So my boys are both African American and Tongan.
Yeah.
And I don't, it's just, it's always been a fear for me because, you know, not only is the racial part like a factor, but it's also the fact that you guys are boys. And I don't know, I love my boys to the point where it's like, sometimes it's just scary.
Yeah. And it's reiterating and reilluminating the idea of survival.
Right.
It's like we
which sucks though, you know, because I always tell my boys that as much as I'm stuck in survival mode, I hope you guys will be able to experience life for what it is instead of surviving life.
Wow. Put that on a t-shirt. That was so good. No, but I echo everything that you're saying. Sometimes you're just left with not many options. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with housing in connection with affordability, if what we can afford exists within a certain neighborhood, then we kind of don't have any choice but to stay there.
Right.
And whatever the surrounding circumstances may be, it's just something we're going to have to, like, deal with or, you know.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm over here thinking about dealing with weather in D10 because
it's
a struggle for real, especially during the rainy season.
Yeah.
Because I remember that one time it was raining so hard that the Yosemite Slough, which is kind of like the breaking point between, not the breaking point, but kind of like the border between the bay and then D10, which like it always overflows. And I think that during that time with the storm, it flooded our streets.
That's also something I was thinking about. The quality of housing. Let's clock that. I wonder if housing projects nowadays or as of recently are equipped with the proper foundations to face certain natural, I don't want to say the rest of the word.
But yeah, like, you know, just
environmental
factors. Environmental factors.
There you go.
No, yeah, like I would hope so. It's also the fact that for residents, like if they have like a broken light bulb, or not light bulb, but like if my sink is messed up or if the oven's not working or if all of a sudden, like, where did the heat go? You know, that whole process of, you know, reporting it, and then how long is the wait?
Oh, like work orders.
Yes. Sorry.
I think my experience, and I'm only talking about my experience, my housing does a pretty good job of getting the work order and then, you know, sending out a maintenance person to handle that.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like they do a really fair job of that.
Right.
However, I do know, or I've heard from a friend who shall remain nameless, that other housing projects are at risk for being infested with rodents.
Ooh.
Yeah. Especially being that the past couple months, the weather was like very cold outside.
Right.
Which pretty much forces these wildlife to seek shelter wherever they can.
Right.
And I'm not really sure how I would feel about that, how that plays into things.
I wouldn't feel clean.
No.
Sorry. But that's just my opinion.
Log it. But I think just that being a concern in relation to housing in San Francisco, and I can't even say it's just San Francisco. I think this is something generalizable to other places, but at least for the purpose of this podcast.
No, yeah, because I think based off of the survey results, I remember one response was talking about how the heater in their unit stopped working.
Yeah.
And the heater connects to everybody's, you know, like to everybody else's unit. and it was out for weeks. And this was during November, December.
Which is the times you literally need your heater.
And they were like, yeah, it was broken for weeks. Like, it was such a struggle for us because they kept giving us empty promises.
Right.
And I was like, that's crazy.
I think what this conversation is making me feel, and something I definitely want to clock and bring attention to, is the fact that home ownership in the United States as like this quote unquote American dream is not realistic.
Mm.
It's not. I mean, I'm thinking about our unhoused population that exists. And, you know, I do have my own reservations about them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing negative, but it's more like a place of concern, a place of worry.
Mm.
But I know a lot of people in San Francisco, they don't treat them as people.
Mm.
Like it's more so of a nuisance. But what I'm trying to get at that is, you think if housing was more affordable and accessible, these folks would be on the streets?
Right.
There's obviously an issue to be addressed.
Right.
And what we're seeing are the consequences of said issue.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
And it's crazy because the fact that, well, during my age, I was unhoused. Like, during, like, in my 19 until, like, 22-ish, I was unhoused. And it was difficult because, for one, you're super young, so it's like, I don't know where to look for resources. I don't know where to ask for help.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's like, it's so difficult to reach out to my friends and kind of tell them my situation.
Right.
And it's like, there's no real compass about how to navigate after you're unhoused.
Say more.
Because, you know, like, from someone that used to be unhoused, it was like, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
On top of that, where do I receive the help at?
Yeah.
And you would have to know some people that either have been through it or people that really are in close proximity with these programs to really even know about it.
Right.
And we can also talk about how, like, you know, many people that can't even afford it here in San Francisco, they end up moving out, which is exactly why I moved out as well, because I couldn't afford, you know, rent at the time because, one, I was pregnant, so I couldn't work. And so I had to move to a whole nother state to kind of continue, like, you know, raising a child and trying to, you know, budget everything. I feel like there's a lot of people, not even people, I feel like there's a lot of Tay that don't know the direction of where to go after being put in this situation where they're unhoused.
Can you say more?
I mean, because a lot of the programs that are offered are usually for families.
Oh.
And for a lot of Tay, it's like some don't have kids yet. So for single Tay, it's kind of difficult to find resources that benefit you in that moment. There's also moments where they just have no other choice but to move out of San Francisco, which is what I did. I ended up moving all the way to the south in Arkansas to...
Damn.
Yeah. After I realized it didn't work for me, though, I came back.
Right. I'm here. Welcome now. Back. I think that's real, though, because it makes me think also the influence of gentrification.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of long-time or long-term residents within the city of San Francisco are moving out because of affordability. And it's funny, too, because I have a couple family members that have done the same.
Mm.
But the two places I feel like they go to the most are Las Vegas or Texas.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, my brother's in Nevada. If that's close enough. No, but yeah.
I just think, from my limited knowledge of Las Vegas and Texas, is that whatever you would use over here to pay rent, that could probably cover, allegedly or hypothetically, your mortgage payment out there. And what? Some more. But like, you know what I'm saying? Why would you stay in San Francisco just renting when you could move out the state and buy a home?
Yeah, but it's like, I feel like it would suck to like...
socially?
Right. And also like the culture shock.
I'm not a fan of change. I'm not great on adjustments. So I also feel the same way. However, I do think a lot of folks choose to go this direction for the sake of building generational wealth. Of wanting the future generations to have something passed down to them. And shoot, if it's a house,
man,
by all means.
Can't be mad at that.
Right. That's what I aspire to do for my family.
Aww.
For my future family, for my current family. Or I should say, from the family I was born into. Mm-hmm. And the family I will create in the very, very, very distant future. But yes, like, I'm going to clock myself. I envied my peers that grew up in their childhood homes.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, it was carried out through generation after generation. Like, I don't know what that's like.
I don't either.
But I want to. I want that experience.
Right.
So I don't even know if it's selfishly, but that's something I acknowledge. I want to experience that in my lifetime, in this lifetime.
I mean, I feel like it fits you, you know, with your Thank personality you. Being super sentimental. And it's like, even what the? For, which is a good thing, though, because I envy it, too, because I think... Because I'm not originally born in SF, but I've lived out here my whole life.
Right.
But, you know, my childhood home is all the way in a different state. It's in Utah. And, you know, like, just being able to come back to somewhere where, you know, you grew up in, these are where all your memories are. It's beautiful to kind of keep as a, you know, a time capsule.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. For the family that I create, I do want my future offspring to grow up in San Francisco.
Right.
But I'm like, the way it's looking for me right now,
it's giving.
I'm not. It's giving. We're going to have to move out the state, which, again, I don't want to do. I want my kids to see, like, where I went to high school, where I went to college. I want them to see all of that.
Right.
But if the price keep going up, then I'm getting out.
Man, which is nuts. I feel like rent now is just, it's sky high. And I don't know. All right, it's about that time.
Lunchtime.
No, it's time for the recap.
Bruh.
To sum things up from today's episode, we went over the positive impacts of housing, which include scenic views, addition of new housing projects, neighborhood diversity, optimal transit services, and assistance programs, right? Right? Clap it up. But we also went over the negative impacts, which are out of reach affordability, the cost of living, means of survival, and the American nightmare. However, when it comes to housing for Tay, Pacific Islanders in San Francisco's D10, right? The positive impacts are clear. New projects, vibrant neighborhoods, and better access to transit and support programs as well. But the reality is housing is still out of reach for too many, and the cost of living continues to push survival to the edge. For our community, this is more than just an issue. It's an urgent crisis that demands action now.
So we got a little challenge for our listeners in the Stand on Business segment where you can join us in taking action. This week's challenge, we want you to identify one housing resource or program for your community and share it with us through Instagram at BigPer_SF. with the hashtag Speak It Into Existence. Extra brownie points if it's geared or facilitated by PIT.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, that's all the time we got today. Go ahead and check out the rest of our season, which is already uploaded and available for you. Once again, I'm Hefo.
And I'm Adri.
And thank you so much for tuning in to the Speak On It podcast. This episode is made possible by the Samoan Community Development Center in partnership with the Pacifica Urban Roots Collaborative and funded by the Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families. A big thank you to the Hub SF, our sound engineer DJ Bulao, and our producer Daniel Danny Boy Nahave'evalu. To learn more about the SPEAK program, visit scdcsf.org and click on the Community Research tab. There, you can access our report.